The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Andrew Pleasant, good afternoon and welcome to the weekend. We have a lot to do. We welcome some of you back who have been away for a day or two watching some great women's softball from Tuscaloosa. We are off and running, though, and we'll update you on anything you may have missed. We've been here all week. We just haven't been seen by everyone. Let's get to it. And in case you did not see this late yesterday, Pac-12 has a new man at the top. He is George Kliakoff. Who is he? Is he the right commissioner for the Pac-12? After what they've had for the past 10 years, Bozo the Clown would be the right commissioner. Who is he? He's been the executive VP of business for MLB Advanced Media, digital chief officer at NBC Universal. That's NBC, in case you were wondering. He co-led the largest division of Hearst, board on the board of governors of the WNBA, and he recently was president of MGM Resorts International, entertainment and sports business. There are many who wonder about this hire. He won the press conference. That's always important. You don't want to lose the press conference for a league like the Pac-12. He said all the right things. He opened the door for the Pac-12 to consider voting in favor of expanding the CFP, but so did the other guy. And he also said he'd hire someone that maybe understood the campuses. That would be a good move as well. We'll talk about it a little bit later on with a couple of our guests. Well, he's not the only new man in the news. Jim Phillips, he was the Northwestern AD. He is now the ACC commissioner. He said he will not decide on CFP expansion until thoroughly assessing the situation. Okay. In other words, canvassing the room. We think he'll be in favor of expansion since pretty much everyone is right now. And while you were asleep the last couple of weeks, Northwestern hired and fired an athletic director. And now looking for a new one amid student protests. One of the men who Northwestern reached out to the last time was Alan Green of Auburn. It will be interesting to see if his name pops up here again. There's always something going on in Columbia, in Columbus, Ohio. Now we have a report that the university has banned a massage therapist after inappropriate exploitative behavior. Wow, that is a bad story. Meanwhile, the state of Louisiana is nearing NIL legislation, as everyone seems to be heading in that direction. So they'll join a number of other states. And it looks like Missouri is on its way to becoming the 16th state to pass an NIL bill. It's now on to the governor. Already, as some of you know, Alabama, Mississippi, Missouri, Tennessee, South Carolina, Arkansas, Georgia, and Florida, Louisiana, we mentioned a minute ago, and Texas are on their way as well. Come on, join the club. It is going to happen. And what are we doing today? How about Keyshawn Johnson joining us in a few minutes? Number one draft pick out of Southern Cal. We'll ask him about his dilapidated league. We'll talk about NIL. We may ask him about the newest tight end in the NFL. Andrew Adelson on the ACC. John Wilner covers the Pac-12. Adam Spencer on what it takes to be a quarterback, and Kyle Peterson on a huge series this weekend between Vanderbilt and Ole Miss in baseball. So it's great to have all of you back here. Let's get to the phones at 855-242-7285 and start with Pat, who is in Georgia. Pat, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Well, thank you very much. So Bozo the Clown would be a good commissioner for the Pac-12. Is that what
well,
you said?
Well, I insinuate he would be better than the previous commissioner who acted like Bozo the Clown.
Okay. Well, I got a question to ask you, and you might want to pontificate on this. With what went on at Northwestern this week and then what went on at South Carolina with the former commandant of West Point, they're making rookie mistakes for people who are supposed to be of the stature and leadership of the positions that they've been hired for. Do they just think they can do no wrong? Or and you were rather passionate about the plagiarism. I picked that up in my call with you later on in, or earlier in the week. So
the situation at Northwestern is a little more complicated. I think I don't know the circumstances there, but it just seems like they took way too long to make this decision. They made a poor decision, and now they're paying for it. You know, the president at South Carolina deserved to be fired. When you're someone that comes from his ilk, when you're lieutenant general at West Point, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but when you think about integrity, you think of the service academies of this great country, and that is just sloppy. And it's inexcusable. Hey, we've all made mistakes. I mean, I've given speeches before. I've written stories, and you maybe go close to the edge on characterizing or paraphrasing something. But the new world order in that field is you just attribute it. I mean, it's no big deal. Why would it have been difficult for this man to attribute it, other than the fact someone wrote the speech for him? And he didn't even look at it until he stood up there. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt by using that excuse, which, by the way, is no excuse. I gave a commencement speech a couple of years ago, Pat. You may have heard me mention it once or twice at Ole Miss, the law school. I worked on that speech for 3 months. Why? Because that was something very important to those young men and women and their parents in the audience, that they would maybe remember one thing I said at their commencement 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, or maybe remember nothing, but at least they wouldn't remember that I plagiarized someone else. And to me, that is inexcusable if you're going to be the leader at an academic institution.
No, absolutely, and I agree with everything you're saying about the honor code at the service academies and their honor codes at the rest of the state universities. It seems to me, now, I've always prided myself on competence because I was a CPA and I had to do the tax return right.
Sure.
But it seems to me people at the top give it a lick and a holler, and that's about it sometimes.
No, I agree totally. And by the way, we're all anyone that's in the public eye, anyone who speaks or talks or writes is always risking something. And yeah, I have said things on this program, Pat, that came out the wrong way and have, you know, created stirs. I try not to because I try to be thoughtful, but sometimes you can't help it. You're just spitting something out. I've made predictions that 3 years later somebody throws in your face. That's okay. That comes with the territory. But yeah, I look at a commencement speech or a eulogy or something very personal, you better be careful what you're saying. I mean, I've given eulogies, and have I studied other eulogies in the past to get ideas? Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair, because if you have never done it before, you want to know what people have done previously, but just don't rip off somebody's eulogy or commencement speech and act like it's your own and expect for it not to reverberate.
No, you're absolutely right, and I think besides competence, I think right now we probably need a good dose of when you're wrong, admit it, ask forgiveness, go on and get over it.
Pat, I think you just said it. I think this guy, I think, as we heard from Gene Sapochoff yesterday, I mean, he blundered his way through the first couple of months on the job, and I just think, sometime it doesn't matter whether you're a lieutenant general in the Army or a CPA or a talk show host. I mean, you can just be a blunderer. And I think he was. And ultimately, the university really screwed up, because the guy that should have been hired is now at LSU.
Yeah, and like I said earlier in the week, you know, South Carolina, they just don't seem to be able to catch a break, Paul.
Well,
they just can't.
That's too bad.
You
know this because you've been in the business world for a long time. When you can't catch a break, it's usually because there's usually a reason for it. I hope they get a new president. I'm pretty sure the person that's in there now, they ought to talk him into sticking around for a couple of years, because I happen to know Dr. Pastides, and no one's ever accused him of anything but being a man of great integrity and a brilliant leader. He just decided to step down a couple of years ago. He wanted to have a little quieter life. And here he is back again. That makes two presidents now in the SEC that are currently sitting in that chair, retired, and have now had to be brought back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We have a long way to go, and we hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. Keyshawn Johnson coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll talk to him about a number of things. Right now, let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And James is up next. Hey, James.
Paul, it's a nice day, isn't it?
It sure is.
Tell me, got any idea how tall Gronkowski is?
I could look it up in about 3 seconds if you give me time.
Oh, we got all day, man.
Okay, well, he is 6'6".
6'6", that's all?
I have no idea whether that's all, but that's what I read when I looked it up.
All right, for some reason I was thinking he was taller. All right, so Tebow's like 6'3", right?
Somewhere in that range, yeah.
Okay. Now, here's my next question. Sleeve length. And the reason that matters, you know, halo of the catch, apex of the ball, and all that kind of stuff. Sleeve length.
I am not a tailor, so I really wouldn't know that answer.
Okay. Well, you understand that makes a difference, right?
Okay.
All right. My point is this, Paul. We're getting all this brouhaha about whether Tebow should be or Tebow shouldn't be. Is it because everybody else has Tebow fatigue and we just want Tebow to go on? Or is it because we don't want him to take up a roster slot? I mean, what is this about?
Well, James,
is it about Tebow or about everybody else's
James,
opinion?
James, this is what it's about. It's about a guy who has not played a down of regular season football since 2012, who has been cut two other times since then, who left baseball because he had nowhere to go, and now he's coming back because his best friend in the world, his surrogate father, just happens to be the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. What else do you need to know? That's why people are.
Many people jumping up and down when Michael Jordan came back the third time when he was nearly 40 and using the league as his personal playground.
James, if you remember when Michael Jordan came back for the third time with the Washington Wizards, he still made the All-Star team.
Yeah, well, I mean,
He had also been out of the game for
– Was it because of past performance or was it because of his play at that particular point in time?
Well, he could still play. He wasn't as good. He also happened to be the a part owner of the Washington Wizards at the time. So, yeah, but are you seriously trying to compare Michael Jordan in his last comeback
to – Not championships, but he'd only been out of the sport for about
2 years. So he hadn't been out of it for 8 years. He was the greatest player of all time. Is Tim Tebow considered the greatest player that's ever been in the NFL?
Probably not. But there are those that would argue that Michael Jordan's the greatest player of all time.
Well,
I'll share with you.
Okay.
Are you listening?
Well, when you're not talking, I'm listening. Yeah.
Okay. Here's what I'll share with you. The best player to ever pull over a tank top, per pound and per inch. You know who that was?
I really have no idea, James.
That would have been my boy, John Stockton. Have a nice day.
You know, the one thing you get when you talk to John, to James, is indecipherable babble, but it's always entertaining, isn't it? Let's go up in class here and have a cogent, intelligent phone call. Hello, Tom. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
I'm not going to tell you about my heritage because you already know about it. I think Tebow will do fine in the NFL. But my question for you today is, where do you think Alabama's softball team is going to go, and when's the last time they won the national championship?
Yeah, it seems like they won the championship, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 years ago. I definitely remember them winning. I can't remember what year it was, but they won it in 11, 12, 13, somewhere in there.
Okay. Well, that's what they're since I'm retired, I watch your show every day. I appreciate what all you're doing for your listeners.
Well, Tom, thank you, and you can talk about your heritage anytime. You should be proud of it. Thanks for the call. Bill is in Michigan, and you are on the air. Hello, Bill.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. My topic is a little bit offbeat. It has to do with ESPN's coverage, or should I say lack of coverage, of what's going on at the University of Michigan and the scandal involving the football team and a team doctor for 40 years. This is the same thing as what happened in Penn State, but ESPN is not covering this anywhere near what they covered other scandals of this magnitude.
And what would your guess be on why they are not covering it?
Okay. Here's a couple of points.
Okay.
January of 2018, there's a lady who works at ESPN named Molly Quirin. When the Larry Nassar scandal came out at Michigan State, and that was terrible, she said Michigan State deserves the death penalty. Even though the Larry Nassar scandal, as horrid as it is and was, had nothing to do with football or basketball. But she comes out and says they deserve the death penalty in an outside the lines report.
Mm-hmm.
Funny thing, Molly Parham is married to Jalen Rose, a U of M grad. Why aren't they asking Jalen Rose and Desmond Howard and Jim Harbaugh? This man, this doctor, was Jim Harbaugh's family physician. And we're talking about 800 accusations and a lot of proof.
So, Bill, let me hold on. Let me see if I understand this. And I know Molly Quirin very well, and I consider her a good friend of mine. I have a hard time believing that because – and Molly, I believe, went to the University of Connecticut, but that's beside the point. I have a hard time believing because ESPN has a couple of prominent commentators who are Michigan graduates that the network is not covering this story. Now, I have no earthly idea because, I mean, I can assure you that no one at ESPN has ever consulted with me on my news judgment on anything, let alone the University of Michigan scandal, but don't you think that's quite a stretch to make?
It's not a stretch at all.
Okay.
I'm looking right at the report. And in Michigan, the report came out by an independent law firm a couple of days ago, and it specifically said they covered it up for years, 40 years, and that everybody, a lot of people knew, including Bo Schembechler. Now, look,
I saw that.
I understand he's passed away and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That is a big story here in Michigan, and ESPN, their coverage of this, and think Joe Paterno, the coverage that ESPN has shown is they put a scroll on their bottom about this Dr. Anderson. In Michigan, this is a big story, except for the fact that in Michigan, we call what happens at U of M the
Blue
Wall.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, you know, if you want to blame someone, blame me too, because I haven't talked about it, and there's a reason, and it has nothing to do with Jalen Rose or Molly Quarum or Desmond Howard. It's just the fact that, you know, that's these stories, you talk about stories based on their news value. And I am not diminishing the importance of this at all, but I'm just simply stating that stories come and go, and you pick and choose what you put on the air. And by the way, Molly Quarum is the host of First Take, where I don't think this type of story is usually discussed unless it involves an NFL player.
Well, no, but it was discussed very much so with the Larry Nassar scandal.
Well, listen, Larry Nassar was a different type of story, though, where you had a
how?
What's that?
How is Larry Nassar different than this Dr. Anderson? It both
Larry Nassar story was covered really more as a news story. I have a better question for you. Have you watched what networks do you watch for your cable news?
I don't watch a lot of cable news.
I didn't ask you if you
anymore.
Watch it a lot. I asked you which network you watch when you watch cable news.
I watch them all.
What's that?
I watch them all.
Okay.
I'll watch them all.
Okay. Have you seen this story on CNN, MSNBC, or Fox News?
No. I guess my point.
No,
is
no. Paul, your point is you're trying to besmirch someone's good name because they made a comment a couple of years ago and they happened to be married to a Michigan graduate. And that has nothing to do with this. Anyway, we'll finish this some other time. I'm not running away from it. I just don't know where else we can go. We have a guest waiting, and he is Keyshawn Johnson, who needs no introduction, but we'll give him one anyway when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. It's so great to welcome into the program Keyshawn Johnson. You can see and hear his program every morning on ESPN radio and ESPN television. You see him all over the place. And of course, he was the first player taken in the NFL draft in 1996. Keyshawn, great to have you back. And I feel like we've been on together all week talking about things, but I want to start with your league, the Pac-12, which has been missing in action for a long time. And they have a new commissioner. And is it possible that maybe, Keyshawn, as we say hello to you, they can finally get it right? Good afternoon.
Well, what's how you doing, Paul? I hope so, right? Larry Scott didn't do his job nearly well enough to put us on the map. So hopefully the new commissioner, I saw it come across the scroll, new commissioners in the Pac-12. Let's figure out the television rights. Let's figure out how to put some economics in some of the schools' pockets outside of some of the big boosters and see where we can go. Let's see if we can compete with the other two, three conferences, the Big Ten, the SEC, obviously, and the ACC, that we can get into a real, real competition with them now.
Because it's just really been, I mean, I know it's sad for you. I mean, you played one of the biggest names in the history of the school, of the sport, and now I guess you could easily say the Pac-12 has become a punching bag. Hey, let me ask you about something else before I get to something that we have discussed earlier in this week, and that's the name, image, and likeness. And you've heard the conversations going on for years. It looks like it's about to become a reality. As someone who was certainly a big man on campus in Hollywood of all places, you understand the appeal for young players and what they want. There's a lot of debate. Should they get it? Should they not? Where are you on NIL?
Absolutely, they should get paid. Where you put the money, how guys are getting paid, from what name, likeness, and image. If a car dealership decides to pay a guy, great, so what? I mean, you know, if a tennis shoe company decides to pay a guy, so what? They deserve to be paid. Coaches get paid. I mean, the late John Thompson
was the innovator of basketball coaches signing shoe contracts. He was the first to do so. So why can't a player, like, you know, and I know the argument, right? The argument is, well, you know, the coaches is part of their salary. The player's salary is their education. Yeah, okay, all right. How many of those educations actually pan out in a young man's career when it's all said and done? I know so many athletes that got a degree without a damn job, and they can't even get a job from the university because the university acts as though they didn't put millions of dollars in the university's pocket when they're done playing. You know that, Paul. You know, you've been in the SEC just as a conference and around the country. Guys graduate, they can't get a job. They didn't make it in the NFL. They graduate with a degree, and all they have is a piece of paper in their hand. So, hell yeah, they're supposed to get paid.
Keyshawn, we get a lot of calls here, and you know, a lot of old school people, you know, guys that have played the game, and I realize it's, they're from a different era, but some are not that far removed, and they just don't understand it. And I know you answered the question a minute ago, but I'd like you to speak to those who feel like there was a time when you played for SC because you felt a loyalty and you felt like you were getting something in return, an education. You were being helped and enhanced in that community. What would you say to those who really are having a very difficult time adjusting to where we currently are and especially where we're about to go?
I would say that times have changed. Things have evolved. Science is different, not the same. And if this was that era, they wouldn't be having a problem. I don't have a problem with it. And I could imagine, Paul, the amount of money that I made for the University of Southern California then, and I still do to this day. I went into a USC football game about 2 years ago, and I went into a luxury suite, and it was named the Keyshawn Johnson Suite. They had pictures of me and everything and all over the place. I didn't get a – you think when they sold that suite to some big-time donor that they explained to them, oh, Keyshawn doesn't get any of this money, but it's the Keyshawn Johnson Suite. I didn't complain. I didn't say anything. I just walked in, looked at it, took the tour. It's like, wow, this is really nice. Pictures of me jumping up and down, trophies. But I didn't get any of that money. I didn't complain about it. It's not. It's like, okay, that was then. That's the deal. Now these younger guys that have an opportunity to benefit on it, they should benefit on it. And I think people shouldn't look at it. Yes, you love your university. If someone can go to Toledo and hit pay dirt on their name, likeness, and image, doesn't mean that they don't love Toledo. They don't love Bowling Green. They don't love Alabama. They don't love Auburn. They still love the university. But in return, they're benefiting from it. They're allowing themselves to profit from it, which they should.
Keyshawn Johnson with us. Keyshawn, let me get to our last topic, and that is Tim Tebow. And no matter where you turn, I was on your show the other day. You look at ESPN, you look at other networks, and for whatever reason, it has been one of the prevailing stories of this week. First of all, why is this such a big story?
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, I think it is a couple of things going on, Paul. We're in a society right now, in a world right now, where we look at unfair advantages, whether it's unjust or whatever you want to call it, right? And so people look at all of those things. So everything is under a microscope. And then you have a coach who's hired, who is controversial, big-time college coach in Urban Meyer, SEC guy, Big Ten guy, national championship. He hired Coach Doyle, that was fired by the University of Iowa. It became a firestorm. He then essentially fired him and said, okay, you guys are right. He did what he did at Iowa. I can't bring him in. So he said, okay, whatever. Then Urban Meyer decides he's going to reach out, or whatever, his quarterback reached out to him from college, and Tim Tebow, which was a fabulous college quarterback, not so well in the pros, 8 years removed from taking a snap in the National Football League. And the theory or the thought is we're going to work him out and possibly sign him. You know how many players that are removed from the NFL in 1, 2, 3 years that can still play and not 34 years old or 33 years old that can't get a workout, can't get a sniff because people just assume they don't want to deal with them for whatever reason? And Tim Tebow gets the opportunity 8 years removed, could get the opportunity 8 years removed. And not only at the position that he was drafted at another position he never played. It's like me all of a sudden coming out of retirement and saying, I want to play outside linebacker. I want to play safety, something that I've never done before. Now all of a sudden, Bill Belichick signs me, and I've never done it before just because he knows me and I play for him with the New York Jets. That just doesn't – it's not right. It's not fair. It's not – and that's why the stink. It has nothing to do with Tim Tebow being polarizing. I think they would say this to anybody that was removed from the NFL for 8 years sitting on the sidelines that did not have an NFL career, and then all of a sudden he gets another bite at the apple. Now, if you told me that Brett Favre wanted to come back and play, people would go – oh, he's old. He probably can't get away from anybody, but he's Brett Favre, and he can throw the football. Let's take a look. Different. Big difference.
Do you think, and you may have answered the question in part, but assuming he gets on the team, and you know more about that than I do, if Urban Meyer wants him to play on that team, I guess he'll play on the team. Is he capable? Is he? What's going to happen once he gets out on the field?
I don't think he would be capable of playing that position. If they said, we want you to be a wildcat fullback type, and that's what we're going to do, 4 or 5 plays a game, maybe he could do that. But to play tight end and just think that all of a sudden he could play tight end, he doesn't have the necessary tool set that the tight end position warrants. He doesn't have any fast twitch muscles. He's not explosive. And I get people, oh, he won championships. It doesn't matter. These kids aren't listening to him in the locker room. All that rah-rah at the middle of the field in Florida, man, that doesn't resonate in the NFL. Nobody pays. These dudes are grown men with full beards with mortgages. They don't want to hear that, win one for the coach. Like, get out of here. And so what he may be able to provide at the college level, he cannot provide at the NFL level. And it's just the reality of it. It has no one's hating on Tim Tebow because I, quite frankly, don't give a damn. If I'm not asked a question, I'll never mention his name other than, oh, did you see Tim Tebow yesterday? Other than that, there's nothing, there's no conversation there. So, you know, if Urban Meyer, but what Urban Meyer has to understand is there's going to be people in that building and in that locker room that's not going to like it if they sign him. And that could potentially fracture something that you're trying to build. It's not going to bridge a gap. It's going to cause a gap in that bridge with that locker room, because there's players that are sitting there going, man, my college teammate just got cut last year and 10 times better than this guy. I can't believe they're doing this. They're going to be coaches that say, we brought in guys that could help us, and they refuse to sign. And there's going to be front office guys that say, we're all going to get fired. That's the reality of it.
Great stuff. Keyshawn Johnson joining us. Keyshawn, thank you so much. It's always a delight to talk to you.
All right, Paulie.
I will see you soon. Thank you, Keyshawn Johnson, joining us and speaking his mind, as he always does. We will take a break. Get your reaction to all of that when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Great comments, some interesting comments from Keyshawn Johnson. They may not be great, but they were compelling. And let's check out Jason, who is up next. Hello, Jason.
Hello. They weren't great. They were moronic. It was completely from a team locker room perspective. Has Keyshawn ever run a company? In the NFL, a business? Does he not understand that, number one, Tim Tebow, one of the most polar – I mean, I'm not a huge Tim Tebow fan. I'm an Alabama fan. I mean, he handed it to us numerous times where, you know, I was completely frustrated with him. But I know one thing about the guy, and so do you, Paul. He is – polarizing enough to do miraculous things no matter what he chooses to encounter. So let Keyshawn and all these guys just play it for Tim Tebow. Let put it on a reel for him, and let's watch and see if he makes the roster. Let's hope and pray the number one play of the first game of the season is Trevor Lawrence to Tim Tebow. Watch him clean house. Watch him outsell every jersey. Watch him. I mean, how can you not want this guy involved with your franchise? It's silly to think about locker room talk. And this guy, oh, we're thinking about mortgages. We're thinking about our family. I mean, come on, man. It's a business. And if you don't think this guy can, I mean, he's a second head coach on the field if he never catches one ball. I think people listen to people that get things done in life. Not just who can have quick twitch. Who cares? The guy's a competitor, and if you don't think he will flat out in the best shape of his life run over your you-know-what, let's put it to the test and see.
Bert is up next as we continue. Hey, Bert, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, good to talk to you. And, man, I love the guy that just got off the phone with you. And I don't know how you do such good interviews, but they're always awesome.
Thank you.
A couple of things with Tebow, I mean with Keyshawn. Now, it's fair that a tailback can get paid a lot of money in college and because he sells shirts. But it's not fair that the most critical position on any football team, which is the offensive line, it's undebatable. I'd love anybody to have that discussion. It's fair they don't get paid because they don't sell shirts. But now he's worried about people and the fairness of who gets hired in a business. Let me tell you, business ain't fair. It don't have to be. It's about money, and people who make bad business decisions fail. Now, when I was 34, I guarantee you, athletically, I was just as capable as I was at 21. Now, I'm not a pro athlete, and as far as he can't play tight end. I mean, if you're an athlete, you can play tight end. I mean, I'm sure he can run a route. A linebacker has to play the run and the pass. No doubt the tight end is the most underutilized position in football. I mean, Keyshawn is – I've said enough. I respect your opinion. I'd love to hear what you think about it.
Well, what's so interesting to me, and I've done a couple of shows this week with various people, and the classification of those who are against Tebow is pretty well defined. Those who are in favor of him is also fairly clear, and I'm listening to it all. I'm in favor of Tim Tebow doing this. I have not one iota of a problem. It's up to Urban Meyer. It's up to the ownership of that franchise. And I would never say he can't do it. I mean, I say that because I know him and I've seen what he's encountered in various parts of life. Anyway, we'll continue this conversation. Andrew Adelson will join us as well coming up next.